Welcome, ladies, gentlemen, fellow slaves of the global plantation. The Vinnie Eastwood Show is bad news. It's like the news, but worse. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because of being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinnie Eastwood Show. Where the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child-trafficking Satanists is Vinnie's jokes. And I'm here today on the Four Pillars of Power with my man Phoenix. What's going on, brother?
Hey, brother. How are you doing today?
You know, borderline and on fabulous. Other than that, like crap, you know. I was up at 2 o'clock this morning to do a show with the lovely Penny L.A. Shepherd on the radio in the States, which was great. And I was just thinking to myself, man, I don't want to be up this late. And then another thought occurred to me, Vinny, how many other New Zealanders are being invited to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning to go on American radio? Nobody? Okay, well, be happy about it. These are good problems to have.
These are very good problems to have. Speaking of problems to have, so welcome to our side of the show, which is Four Pillars of Power, where we discuss addiction and the solutions to addiction by transmuting your bad characteristics into good characteristics. One of the things I think we're talking about today is trading and money and probably our addiction to money and the current system and how it's running into a digital currency. One of the things I was looking at in the news recently happened a while ago in Nigeria. The government and the banks decided they were going to print a new currency. And they then announced to the public that we have a new currency, that a new banknote that's going to be printed. So they deleted all the other currencies. And then when this new banknote was meant to come out, they made it really scarce and hard for people to get. So the alternative for people were to go to a digital banking currency, where I think 0.5% of the population decided to go to digital currency. And now they're in a situation where they're being starved into coercion into a digital currency. So what I really want to discuss is what can we do if we're not that 0.5% that decide to go to digital currency? We still have communities, we still have a society that's functioning. So we have alternatives that we could probably use, like a resource-based economy, time banking, just simple trade. So can you explain more from your side, Vinny, seeing as you've had lots of experiences with Jacques, what a resource-based economy is?
It's very, very difficult because we're looking at a problem whereby all the resources are currently controlled by people who actually own them, right? They've taken the oil, they've taken the diamonds, they've taken the gold, they've taken the whatever. Whatever it is that people need to survive, all those industries have basically been systematically taken over by the massive mega corporates who are working for the massive mega banks who are working directly for Satan. Now, the thing about it is we have to look at not the big problem, but the small problem. For example, your mate next door, if you want something he's got and you don't got no cash, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Have you got food to trade? Have you got skills to trade? You know, maybe he needs something built on his back deck and he can't afford a builder. And maybe you want a new shovel and he's got a couple of them. And you say, hey, man, I'll build that for you. And you give me a shovel, you know, and now I've got a shovel. Those kind of things are perfectly fine, but there's also another alternatives, like, for example, local community currencies, where you actually mint and print your own currency in your community. It could be for your street or your suburb or so on and so forth, so that people are actually able to create and trade and have their own currency to do that with. In New Zealand, there's another alternative called barter card, and there's many umpteen, like, cryptocurrencies and things of this nature, which people are now using to pay for products. But I think the main point is that you're going to have to survive for a significant period of time without really any real money. And I believe Lindsay Williams warned about this back in the day. He said you need something like at least three to 5 years worth of all your expenses in gold or silver, and if you want to survive what's coming. If you don't have that, you're going to be in real trouble. Now, Stefan Verstappen, on the other hand, for the author of Urban Guerrilla Warfare, has been basically, I would call it a cognitive disassociation with all the available resources of the state. For example, the state gives you medical care. What about if there's somebody on your street? Not somebody who's qualified, but somebody who actually can do it, right? Those kind of things. And he set up this little network of people who are skilled and capable. You know, if somebody breaks a leg or gets a sick or something like that, they've got people in their local community group, which they all belong to for free, that will provide them with those services from people in their area. Additionally to that, they've set up their own schooling system, just again voluntarily involved. Nobody has to pay anything, everybody just has to volunteer. People have all sorts of different skills in a community. You get those people together, you organize them and get them to share trade and skills and organize, and you'll be surprised that they don't need the state anymore. They don't need their money. They don't need their food. They don't need their medicine. They don't need their energy, right? Just you become completely self-sufficient one little step at a time by setting up one little organization after another, and he calls them private members' organizations. Now, here's the key. If you're practicing publicly as a doctor and you don't have a license, you can be sued for practicing without a license. But if you're practicing as a doctor in a private members' group, and it's not public, and people actually have to be members, you're not violating any laws. There's a loophole like that with every single qualification that you can really think of. You don't need to sign up some kind of legal document if your mate is a lawyer and he just tells you a few things, right? So this, I think, is probably one of the most important sort of realizations of my recent timing, is how important it is to set up those own resilient communities right now while you still can. Do you have your own methods of defending your community? Who's armed? Who knows how to use them? Do you have communication in your community? Is there a radio network that you've got set up where people have got handheld radio, so if the top of the street or something like that sees something, the people at the bottom of the street will see it coming before it's too late? You know, that kind of thing. Four-man teams, he talked about, is that most effective military organization pattern is just a four-man team. Four guys can do a heck of a lot, and you don't need to overcomplicate it. They can all fit in one car, they can all take on different duties, and they can accomplish significant tasks. He has, like, farmers who deliver produce to their community regularly and stuff like that. So, yeah, man, just an incredible amount of work that he's been doing over there. And I think it's kind of serves as an example that the whole reason why the state is so strong and so damaging to people is because they've managed to convince everybody that we need them and we don't.
Mm. And for myself personally, I think one of the things that you can do as a man, particularly as a man, is to upskill yourself in as many, I would say, normal skills that a man should have in terms of, like, growing food, hunting, building, being able to fix your own car, change your tire, change your brakes, stuff like that. It minimizes the cost that you have to your living, and then also empowers yourself to, you know, be independent from the system and independent from our commercial system at the same time. If we currently keep feeding this beast through our everyday actions, we then, like you said, become a slave to that beast. So I would suggest to everyone at the moment that we're under a food shortage or crisis, but that's a planned situation that we're in at the moment. And we're probably facing another lockdown coming up, from what everyone's saying on the net. So upskill yourself in terms of what you can do at home in the garden and growing your own food. Create private organizations that grow food, and upskill yourself within that private organization. And this is what we're currently doing, having brotherhoods and creating our own networks of like-minded people. The power of desperation is something that's quite potent when it comes to a person that's being pushed to their limit, and they're currently pushing us to our limits. Everyone that wants to feed their children will push back, and this is probably the time that we need to utilize lockdowns and all the pushing that they do towards us as another form of pushback. They say we can't grow our own medicines, and that's exactly what we do. We do the complete opposite to what they do. I don't know if you have anyone else has an opinion on that. I'm going to open the floor up to anyone else that they want to make a comment or ask a question.
Have we got anybody out there? We got here we are.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Yeah, fabulous.
Yeah, I had a crazy idea. I was thinking, like, how you doing, Vinny? It's my first time meeting you, man. Okay. I seen you in IMC a couple of times. I was thinking, man, that in power is only as good as the extent of the illusion that is powerful. Because I believe in this illusion. I was thinking, like, you know what? If I could create society in an alternate reality, but it's in my head, and I'm the architect, I'm the only person that would be able to beat me at my own game will be the one who thinks like the architect. You know, I'm thinking, like, well, if someone can realize what's going on and recreate it and rechange the parameters of how the game is being played, that would be the one to beat the architect. You know, like, I'm not trying to be Neo. The system is the system, and it's currently all to run on our everyday lives. And that, and right there is that, that's the exploit. That's the glitch. Is that in reality, we're the ones playing the game, but don't realize it. And we could change that by not simply playing around at all. It stops. The game stops. When everybody stops playing, the game is over.
Participation, yes. It's like when the architect and Neo are talking, the architect reveals to Neo that he's done this at least six times prior and in different formats. And yeah, essentially they create a character base for us to follow, which, you know, you feel like you're the hero, but I suppose, you know, you're the hero to the slaughter or the fattening of the lamb, essentially. I love the concept of becoming the architect because you are the architect of your own life, your own journey, but there are limitations to this material format, but within your own spiritual format, of course, which is limitless. And that's where we need to start. We're always trying to start from the material aspect to control our lives, which seems logical and normal, but as within, so without. So the practice would come from having a mindset of being able to, yeah, fuck, I can do this. I'm not going to ask anyone else to help me. And I might struggle through trying to learn how to do this, but that struggle is the lesson of how not to do it every time I make a mistake. I changed my brakes for the first time the other day. It took me about 2.5 days, which a normal mechanic probably would have taken them an hour. But, you know, I had seized pistons, had this issue, I didn't have the right tool, did as much research as I could. But the best learning I had was actually changing the brakes and making all the mistakes. And the next time I change a pair of brakes, I know exactly what to do. It would probably take me 30 minutes now. And that's the mindset that we need to have as men, especially. And you can ask for advice, you can ask for how it was done previously, but you need to reformat and create your own process and be an architect of the end result. Yeah, that's my advice to that and my comment on that. Thank you for sharing, Seth.
Yeah. You know, you got to break the action is causing the effect. You know, everything is in the law of three. And that's really how I honestly feel about it. I'm like, we don't have to play. We don't. And if we choose to play, we can change. We can change the parameters.
Yes.
All you have to do is duplicate the system, but change the effects. And we all, each and every single one of us around the world, internationally, can change that. And as that is, and I think that no one has put that idea into existence. And because I really think like that.
I think maybe it's ironic, really, that one of the worst ideas that people think is that all you need to do is change what's around you, and then what's within will change. And the other school of thought is that you change what's within, and then what's around you will change. And then you look at, say, Dr. Bruce Lipton's work, and he looked at cells and microbiology and epigenetics and this kind of thing. And you can change your genes with as so much as an hour of meditation. You can stop somebody from getting cancer by simply putting them in an environment with a family who doesn't have no history of cancer and live like them. Your environment has an enormous amount of effect on you, also at the same time that you can affect your own environment. So it's two-tone, really. But the problem is that people think it's one or the other. I can only change myself, or I can only go out there and change society. So you get these socialists who the only time that they ever really get together to try and solve a problem is when they're complaining about something, and they go out together to try and say, hey, we're complaining about this. Oh, yeah? Do you have any idea how to solve it? No, but you need to solve it. Okay, yeah, you guys are not operating with your entire consciousness quite working there. And the rest of us, I think, are tiptoeing between those two options here. And one philosophy I heard was that when you can't do anything right now, you've got a difficulty with a person or a job or a situation or something of that nature that you can't control, the one thing that you can control in that moment is yourself. What are you doing with your downtime? Are you spending this time feeling frustrated about the things you can't change? Or are you spending this time changing the things you can?
Exactly. Well, we focus, see, one of the things that we focus, well, four of the things we focus on mainly at Four Pillars are the social structures you have, the mental structures you have, spiritual and physical structures that you have, and these are the things that you could focus on a daily basis and what you can do on a day-to-day basis to change these things in within yourself and around yourself. You're completely right in saying it is dualistic. You know, every decision you make, like let's break it down like simplistically. I can decide to go out and eat dinner, or I can stay at home and eat dinner and use my own skills to make my own dinner at home. And these are small little changes you can make in terms of if you see that situation and value that situation from a conscious point of view. I think we look for convenience and comfort too much as a species, and that's probably led us to the situation we're in at the moment and led us to this money system and corporate system, commerce system. And we do ourselves a real disservice by not utilizing our natural born skills that we have to create something like a home cooked meal, as simple as that.
Well, you make a point there about how we're kind of craving comfort and convenience a bit too much. And Marcus Aurelius, the last of the five great emperors, he had a practice where he would leave the house when it's cold and rainy without a jacket, purposely. He would deprive himself, even though he's the emperor of, you know, the greatest empire the world had ever known at that time, he would deprive himself of the basic comforts of life. And each morning he would get up and he would tell himself, today I'm going to run into difficult people. They're going to be arrogant, ignorant, they're going to be hard for me to deal with. And because he put that in his mind, any time he did run into one of those people, he was prepared for it. He wasn't going around thinking, the sun's shining, it's all rainbows and stuff, and then somebody says something mean to him, and it's like, oh, he ruined my day. No. If you go out there with that expectation that things are going to try and ruin your day and that you're going to deal with it, there ain't nothing that can cast a cloud on your shadow. As it were.
Thank you very much, Vinny. I think we're actually getting to the end of our show time. Are there any closing thoughts in terms of what a person can think of first thing in the morning facing the genocide that we're facing at the moment? A simple thought to kickstart the day.
If you only got one nut left, you better get it off, homie.
Well, it was kind of like, I woke up. What's the first thing I think? I haven't been exterminated. Excellent. I'm going to go take a wiki leak. You know, that's the first thing I think of every morning. You know, you just, I think life is a process of that. You know, take this metaphor, all right? Like, there's a lot of people going out there trying to wake people up. And that's never been what I've been trying to do. I've never been trying to wake people up, you know, contrary to popular opinion. And the reason why is because I believe that you can't actually wake people up per se. You can present them with the information, but they're the one who chooses whether or not they're going to sit there and watch two documentaries a day for 6 months. Nobody can force you to do that, right? You've got to sit there and make yourself want to do it. And my methodology is simply helping the people who have woken up deal with the harsh reality that there is. Now, that means that taking on a lot of people's pain a lot of the time and talking to people about their frustrations with the system and making light of it. But that doesn't mean I've got an infinite reservoir of empathy and care. Sometimes I get depleted and I just kind of like go into my own space and try to recharge after a little bit. It's like the joke about the great clown Pagliacci. Man goes to a doctor, says he's depressed. He says he feels all alone in a threatening world. Life seems harsh and cruel. The doctor says treatment is simple. The great clown Pagliacci is in town. Go see him. That should pick you up. The man bursts into tears. But doctor, he cried, I am Pagliacci. And the problem here is that sometimes the people who are there to take away your stress, make you feel better about all the things, you may be one of these people. Sometimes you need somebody to talk to. You need somebody to care about you. And it's very important that you find those people and hold on to them and value them and give them calls and things like that. Because the whole saying that we are social creatures has never been more true. And the whole idea that we use social media has never been a bigger lie. You will never feel satisfied with talking with people and being with people across a digital spectrum. I know, I've been a talk radio show host for 15 years, I've done 20,000 hours of interviews with the best people in the world. You can never really, truly have a real connection like you will do face-to-face with the people in your life. And that's why they're so valuable. No matter what you're doing in the digital sphere, you need to keep your 2 feet right here on the ground with the people around you, because they're what will be there when all the communications go down.
Thank you very much, Vinny. And with that, I think that's a great closing moment. So next week we will be back with either Kenny, Trent, or Tony K. Not sure what our subjects will be. And you're always welcome to come back, Vinny, and share your great, brilliant mind and terrible jokes.
You're welcome. So check us out at vinnyeastwood.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, like go ahead, make my news. And please sign the petition, if you can, please, at change.org. Just search Billy TK. It should come up. Justice for Billy TK and Vinnie Eastwood. We want to get like as many signatures as we can. We're over 10,000 at the moment. So next goal that we've got is 15,000. So people want to go to change.org and to free us, because we're facing 4 and 3 months prison, respectively, for protesting against the lockdowns that made many people commit suicide and lose their businesses and things of that nature. And we're being punished for standing up for all those people who couldn't. So if you want to help us, please do support us. Go to vinnieeastwood.com, donate today, go to change.org and search for that petition there. Justice for Billy TK and Vinnie Eastwood. Thank you so much, Phoenix, for your help, man. Mm-hmm.